다 되게 한다. 최주기. 강을 쳐버려 줘서. 아니, 산지에 쉬었기 눈세니. 다디, 깨 숨용야디, 건드렸을라나. 대중 곳에 연대군댕기, 산지에 세안디, 베란드디, 러브 촐랑기, 참호군주 날라올라. 세모를 듀르바세니, 듀르바세야가 측식며체. 디 가르스가 왔을라베이나, 세메 기부, 산지 좀 된데, 가다시 랑도가 냈던 말로, 루어메베, 다 기부, 세메 기부디, 듀메벨을 주면 말이지. 민투비주를 주면 말이, 딱배주를 주면 말이, 틈비주를 주면 말이지. 틈비주 가르스라나, 로아를 찍고 그게 펜벌을 쉐베, 투지천부, 닝지천부리야, 아니, 냠린 나니. 텔러 때네, 때다 샹준 주야기, 아니, 지금 조합순 서봐. 너는 지금 다 돈이 되고 싫어버리. 대단 대략 지금 다 삼계기 쳐봐. 디지털을 넘니. 아니, 런줄이야. 아니, 빵도가 연대. 토마 줄기. 대네 빵도가 연대. 저 공에 공도 패배 타네. 타래, 아니, 샹준 배 타르 씹어 줄투야. 중벌이 있으니. 어디 숨겨야래. 드디어 인류산에, 산재, 지대하기, 경기서 연대군대가 빵도 좁에 산재에 최양수라고 할 때는 중앙인 말이에요. 딘데르베다 산재에 대해, 아니, 똑바로 른지 지다 지도를 치니, 아니, 그, 야, 산재 신주산에 러벤네급 지금 그야래. 아니, 러벤네급 들어야, 아니, 러벤긴 뉴스기야래. 아니, 경기서 연대군대 차승빈네급이야, 아니, 산재 파괄이야, 밀러벤긴 뉴스기야래. 너는 지금 최다, 최대를 때는 두셔야 돼. 강사스님도 기부. 대는 낭세기, 로봇은 밀로베니. 다 땜버지기 중루모도 체인주잖아. 토마라 있는 촉을 주고 지대는 뒤추한거 꼴. 대를 때는, 아니, 토마라 룸기 추어 꼴. 뒤 뒤제 양술라니, 아니, 뒤제 유리가 똑배 추었기. 아니, 똑배 연대 림베기, 아니, 지금 땜버무슨도 타네.
In the verse of salutation, the object of homage was identified as the Buddha, the Dharma and Sangha, the Buddha, the teachings and the spiritual community. So these are the three objects of refuge. And in Buddhism, they are known as the three jewels. The first is the Buddha, who is defined as a being who had attained total perfection of all realizations and knowledge, and also total elimination of all the defects and limitations and afflictions of mind and so on. So how do we understand such a fully enlightened being? How do we understand the characteristics of such a fully enlightened being? In this respect, it is helpful to reflect upon a verse written by the Indian master, Dignag, where he, in his text on compendium on valid cognitions, he pays homage to the Buddha by pointing out that you who have become a valid being. So this, the operative word, the key word here is the word becoming. The point being made here is that the fully enlightened Buddha, the teacher, was not an eternally enlightened being, but rather someone who has become a valid teacher, someone who has become a fully enlightened. So this word becoming has a very significant point, which is that the Buddhahood do not come about from no cause. Buddhahood comes about from causes, and also that it doesn't come about from causes that are completely discordant with the result. So in other words, that the causes are themselves not permanent, and enlightenment comes about from a cause, and that it also comes about from causes that are incommensurate with the results. And then Dignaga identifies what is that key cause for attaining Buddhahood. And here, cultivation of compassion, the universal compassion, the great compassion, is identified as the key factor, the key cause. So in the salutation to the Buddha made by Dignaga, he pays homage to the Buddha as someone who has become a valid teacher, a valid being, an authentic being, through the practice of sustained practice of compassion. So what we see here is that the fully enlightened being had attained that state of enlightenment as a result of a sustained and prolonged practice of compassion, and also some of the other associated aspects of the path, such as the wisdom realizing emptiness and so on. So the key here is the realizations that the Buddha has attained, which is the true dharma, and it is on the basis of the realization of the dharma we define Sangha and the Buddha, because those who are still on the path and had attained the path of seeing and gained direct insight into the ultimate nature of reality, they are the Sangha, true Sanghas. And once you proceed in this path and attain a total culmination of this realization, that is the state when you have attained Buddhahood. So it is on the basis of the Dharma that the other two jewels, the jewel of Sangha and the jewel of Buddha, are also defined. So this is how we need to understand the nature and characteristics of the fully enlightened Buddha, on the basis of understanding the nature and characteristics of the true Dharma. In terms of chronology of a particular era, then there is a sequence between the three in terms of evolution. For example, in the case of the present Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni, in terms of evolution of the teachings of that Buddha, first the Buddha Shakyamuni came as a Nirmanakaya, emanation Buddha, and then Buddha then taught the teachings. Initially, the teaching was at the level of scriptural texts, therefore you have the scriptures that are taught by the Buddha, and then on the basis of the scriptures taught by the Buddha, his disciples engaged in the practice and cultivated the realizations of these scriptures, thus evolved the Dharma as realization. And then those who have gained realizations of the Arya stage, the path of seeing, those became the Sangha. So within the context of a single era, you can say the Buddha comes first, Dharma comes second, and then Sangha evolves third. Because of this, the order in which we go for refuge or pay homage to the three jewels is always Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha.
So today you do the Sangha di chig member the Dharma. And in Nele, the most Buddha, because of the Tao Ching di.
So it's because of this we find in the texts when referring to these three jewels, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, often the metaphor of medicine is used. And so the Buddha is likened to a physician, and the Dharma, the teachings, is likened to the medicine, and the spiritual community, the Sangha, is compared to a sick nurse, and the one who helps and looks after the patient. So what we understand from this analogy is that it is in fact the Dharma, which is the true medicine, that directly counters the illness, the ailment. And it is the Buddha who prescribes the medicine of Dharma, and the one's colleagues, companions on the path they who are the Sangha members who act as a support while you are going through this process of therapy. Therefore, often the three jewels are referred to as Buddha as the true teacher, Dharma as the revealed teaching, and Sangha as companions who support you in your practice.
Sada, chedi, ene, chukunjo kunjil sikos laba yina, adu yi temba shi nane, ta gobe temba ta lamji temba sayadi, ta chukunjo goma dimbari. Ta gobe temba sayadi, lamji temba nyamsu langne, ti, telatene, ta sato top dene chigi, yuan dene chigi liya, yuan dene chigi. Ti nane, ko trewe yuan dene chigi. Ta meba soko yaji, nyambi kiwe topji, meba cha dewe, trewe yuan dene dela, go dene chigi hari. Sa ta go lam ki dube, chukunjo sehri. Ta di kandis yungo res lewe yina, di nrutan kandis res lewe yina. Anda di, pangja di, mwishi nganzo supung dogu, 지금 레뉴기 샤완전의 공부도부디 그 방제인 말이에요. 레디인이 안다디 방제 조조로디 딘 루지기다 귤 다음 레부 빼나지 빼나 년령기 공부도부 차시하나 년령기 공부디 가서 우리 보기 레뉴기 샤완전라 아니 녀알부 공부 쓰기 하래. 세상가 강기 샤완도 줘야기 레뉴니부디 지수 예바 지수도 풍부디 둥에를 처리하래. 와 풍부디 둥 풍부디 예상이네 둥에를 했을라나 산지가 살래 수풍 연구래 철풍부 연구래 자주 뵙기래 풍부디 연대그래 이나야 그 녀알림 풍부 쓰대야디 레닌지 녀알림 레닌지 샹왕자도 여대네. 자다 들려야 두지 둥에 신세대야다 대인발이. 자 이네 이마 인도산에 풍부디기 동해 연구 여리니 디 자와 자와디 디 매버서야디 디 두 다 랭연이부디 매버서가야지. 레슬러나 다 자와심바래. 다 대래 양 아게 자와 류지 자와 이지 자와지 연구 여리 이네 디 조조디 끌는 거 왕 연구 여리. 자 이네 인도산에 끌는이야 나서 연구들이 이네 뉴문쟁기 아니 다 끌는래 인도산에 그 견차 연구 여리. 자 이네 인도산에 자와 자와 이네 뉴문 토대도 와. 뉴문슬러디 나시에베 저 리지인바래. 자, 다 토스디 뉴몽 매우소고요. 다 뉴몽기 겐기 아니 동해와디 연구여바 인도산에 뉴몽도 매우소고요. 동해디디에 베나 수풍더부 다 가서 코에디베 베나 수통도 가서지 도디디디베 베나 수풍더부 다르자레 방자레디 이네 디 영야기 규디 또 인도산에 쉐베땡기 거다 체실해도 와. 자, 다 상제기 최기 다 람지 땜바 지냄도다 가다 상제기 최기 방제지 봉당스야디 컨디스고르스라바 이나 자와 자와디 아니 방제지 몽구 용비야디 이니 자와 자와르디 심도 투데지 심비 나라 심 레버 칭에기 뉴모스야디 심 뉴모 칭에 심 머시오 칭에기 칠레 유데지 로치르 뉴모스리 하다 롬 시바지비야 뉴모스리 하래. 와다 딘데로디 동네에 자와 채용 인도스는 다 디 메버 소야디 컨디스고르스라나 Man sen mevasoya yamari, şahsi sen mevasoya yamari, ki lumbur işte böylece, yani ki kam komar işte geçe, taksin işte geçeni yuma mevasoya sade yani yamari. Yuma mevasoya sade adi, yuma korada genda indengeci. Kanda gavaj zeni, eni kasuri cikşu di şuk şundu anacı, tabii ki değil bari. Ben ona şu çiloğu, ben de çatangı zıpıda bu çayşana, ben de çanayın zıpı, 매번 써주면, 그 사회적으로 실천부이나, 그 사회적으로 용도가 아래. 자, 사회적으로, 이 동해 용구도나, 아니, 사회적으로 이 아빠나, 아니, 사회적으로 차도가 아래. 그 윤기, 현도 민족이 말해. 나와도 몇 번 더고, 몇 번 먹으나, 몇 번 내가 써야지나, 야 말고, 나와도는 몇 번 차도가 아래. 그래봐. 자, 듣는 실천은 안, 저 생긴 난 게, 난 시에, 지, 꽤, 만수리야, 너반쟁했지, 나, 동현쟁했지, 꽤인지, 매번 써주나? 큰 겐다 가르도가, 큰 겐데 시바치 누가 매도가, 큰 겐데 시바치 유연아? 겐데 시바치 쟤니, 겐데 시바디야, 마기바디, 띠어 보내고도 빼야 하는 애니 매번 써야 돼. 다, 칠록 사장 소로 나와도 몇 소로 지기 견다 다 세미나로 견다 지야 요마르와 다 세미 견다 가르스러나 미버 찍으면 남바 개 때는 진단 진단 개 와치는 다 세미 개 알림도 와다 디토네 다 매버 소고야기 시베지 그르그르 여다바 대다 개 진단 개 와인 시바 그르그르 여바 디디 다 자주다니 디시마체 다 디토네 배낭아도 계시변에 콩루변에 슉슉을 담고 죽나? 닝지를 껴야돼. 찬바를 껴야돼. 봐. 대이견다. 아니, 지금 이 밑에 콩에 고도 삐기 있나? 아니, 콩도 슉슉을 담고 아주 빨리 욕을 하자. 봐야. 다 니가 가서 가서 누구야? 아니, 펭귀야 말해. 자, 다 대이 콩루 밑에 인쇼. 지금 찬바다고 쌤을 끼워 있나? 롤리하고 슉슉을 심어 있나? 그 쌤이야. 별로를 쳐야 돼. 그 쌤 끼워 욕이야. 자, 드리바 인도 참바드 랑자리. 참스드 랑자리. 자, 디미드인 쇼아디. 랑라 누구에바 인자 터져리. 와, 드리바 인도 다 간다디. 콩주 겐다. 콩주스럽니. 미버 뻔에 쥐다. 심지어 심지어 뭐 이거 강요롱어 쥐도 민네. 다 텔레야 쥐 심 숨으로 이래다 쥐. 인바 인도 자네. 디 똥다디. 유 텔레 민네 쥐 쎄와다. 유 텔레 민네 쥐. 대화 주나 삼바 때 유텔레베 집 가서 태바 주나 삼베 참신들이 그때려야 그니 가서 우리 따당한테 겨울에도 와 와다 상제에게 최근으로 가는데 간다 샘근한 게 겨울자니 겨울자니 이니 오야디 탕들랑 디슈그로 칠치면 그 둘러 이니 묵어야디 그 갈래갈래 슈슈으로 다지게 그다음 데려도 와
So the question is, then what exactly is this Dharma jewel which defines the other two jewels, the Buddha and Sangha? What are its characteristics? How can we cultivate that within us? Here we have to understand, as I mentioned earlier, when we speak of the Dharma jewel in the context of Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, the true Dharma really refers to the true cessation, which is the third noble truth. And cessation here refers to the freedom that an individual gains as a result of applying the antidotes against afflictive emotions and thoughts, those negative aspects of the mind. As a result of applying their corresponding antidotes, when one gains a kind of a freedom that ensures, that prevents their future arising, that is called the cessation. And those cessations can be of many different levels. And that is the true Dharma. And also the path that leads to that cessation is also the true Dharma. So the true Dharma here refers to the third noble truth, the truth of cessation, and the fourth noble truth, the truth of the path. Now the question is, if true Dharma refers to the cessation of the negative aspects of the mind, the afflictions of thought and emotions, then the question is, what is the process, or what is the procedure, or what is the mechanism of bringing about such cessation? How can one cultivate the antidotes? How does the antidote work in bringing about the cessation of these negative aspects of our mind? Here, one has to understand that in according to Buddhism, of course, our very existence as conditioned existence itself is understood to be characterized by suffering. It is referred to as, in fact, the pervasive suffering of conditioning.
Present existence.
Yes. Our present existence as a conditioned being is understood to be suffering. This is the third level of suffering, the suffering of pervasive conditioning. So, in this sense, yes, including our physical embodiment, our physical body is, in a sense, in the nature of suffering, something that needs to be ultimately gotten rid of, something that needs to be ultimately eliminated. But in Buddhism, when we speak of our very existence as suffering, we're not implying that the mere physical existence or mere bodily existence is suffering. For example, from the Buddhist point of view, even the Buddha Shakyamuni is seen as an embodied being. However, Buddha Shakyamuni is free of suffering. And also the arahats who have gained freedom from negative emotions and thoughts, they also have the aggregates, the skandhas. So what is being referred to as suffering is this conditioned existence, present existence conditioned by karma and delusions, or karma and afflictions. So at the root of our conditioned existence are the causes, which are the karma and the afflictions. And karma here refers to an action, an individual's act, whether positive or negative. So when we speak of action, a human or a sentient being's action, it automatically implies an agency, a motive behind, an intention. So the act themselves are, again, not the primary cause. The primary cause, again, is what lays behind, what motivates them, what propels these actions. So here we're talking about intentions, the world of intentions, the world of thoughts and emotions. So underlying many of our karma, particularly the negative ones, are a lot of afflicted states of mind. So ultimately, what we arrive at the root of our suffering, really is these afflictions, afflictive thoughts and emotions. And so in Buddhism, they are called nyunmong, or klesha. And the very etymology of klesha suggests that they are states of mind whose very occurrence brings about disturbance within the individual. And these are the ones that defile one's thoughts and emotions, one afflicts the individual from within. And it is that those afflictions which lie at the root of our suffering, and it is those afflictions that needed to be eliminated by applying their direct antidotes. Now the question is, how does the antidotes work when countering these afflictions? So here, these afflictions do not go away simply by making prayers, saying prayers, or wishing them away. These afflictions needed to be eliminated by cultivating their corresponding remedies or antidotes. And how does this antidote, this process of applying the antidote work? Here, you can observe the physical world. For example, in the physical world, you have we can contrast, say, hot heat and coldness in temperature. And if you are suffering from too much heat, by increasing the coolness of the temperature, you can counter that, you can bring that down. And if you are suffering from the effects of a too cold temperature, then you increase the thermometer and adjust it so that you counter it. So even in the physical world, you can see instances where opposing forces counter each other. Similarly, we can take another metaphor of, say, light and darkness. They oppose each other. The moment you switch on the light, the darkness is dispelled. When there is darkness, there is no light. So there is a kind of an instantaneous relation, kind of a dichotomy between the two. So, however, in the world of internal emotions and thoughts, the process in which antidotes work against its opposing forces is slightly different. Here, we need to cultivate, in order to counteract something, we need to cultivate the right state of mind which directly opposes that particular affliction. Where the way in which it does is by focusing on the same object, but by cultivating directly opposite way of engaging with it. For example, you have hatred and you have compassion or love. In the case of hatred and compassion, there are two different emotions, but they can be focused at a single object, an individual or a being. And then based on that, one, when you experience hatred or anger, you have kind of a very hostile experience or hostile feeling or attitude towards that object. On the other hand, if you have compassion towards that particular object, it's the same object, but your attitude and your feeling towards that object is of a different kind. The phenomenological experiences of a different kind. And in fact, one could say that by reinforcing one side, you can automatically and naturally and decrease the force of the other. For example, for the sake of argument, say there is an individual who wishes to, who dislike compassion, who wishes to decrease whatever remnants of compassion there might be in him or her, then in such a case, the individual can most effectively do this by deliberately cultivating hostile attitude towards the object and try to cultivate and try to see the downside of cultivating compassion, try to see the disadvantages of, you know, cultivating loving kindness and so on. And through this way, one could envision that the anger and the hatred can be increased. However, for a spiritual practitioner, that is not the goal, because anger brings the individual harm, it brings disturbance, it brings affliction. Therefore, from a spiritual perspective of a spiritual practitioner, anger and hatred are something that needs to be dispelled, that needs to be relinquished. While compassion and loving kindness is something that needs to be deliberately cultivated because it brings peace and it brings benefit and help. So this is how the antidotes work in decreasing and eventually eliminating the opposing forces.
Yeah. That.
And this is how, when we speak of practicing the teachings of the Buddha, when we speak of engaging in the Dhamma practice, and what is the actual process, the dynamic in which the practice of Dharma works in countering our negative emotions and thoughts. This is how it is, where by deliberately cultivating the corresponding antidote to the negative emotions and thoughts.
다 방절 지약이 되는 지다 시당사로 디지털이 파 숙셔치면 아니 참바 숙충자 참배 떨고 숙충자 다 지 참배 떨려 치르치면 아니 시당기 떨고 막 충로대야 다 디벳 가서 페이지 영지도 없으면 년마치 드레스럽나 다들 개발직이 다들 폐지 안다 우마베 숭나로 순야리 폐지 애니코 시다 링부입니다 우마베 숭나로 순야리야 다 지단한테 뇨몽리야 따와한테 떠밍이 뇨몽시니 용되기도 와 지 그 가서 올 거다 머시를 안다 그 제발시야 용도 용구리도 있네 쪼로 보고 지 그다 랑근 다이어트지. 대안이 차단의 유무 라바진베이나. 아니 덴징기 두천의 배제 용기하래. 다 차단 참여지지 덴진다 충대도 연해지 용기하래. 대안이 오모실제베 걸려야 룰루와 지신도 띠무꾼은 내줄 때 있어. 대신 유무 탑재지 띠무 좀 배 좀 배 줄 수 있는 송대야 돼. 다 중도 오면 이제 세기 가마다 다 중도 오면 세줄에 시다 서로 심벌 차로 심벌이 그래서 다 우마 시집에 겁니다 와서 대송해야 되기 너무 강도 강이나야 탐자로 알아야 이는 띠목이 켜대요 알아야지 배나 류지지 공부지 미국 공부를 써봐도 이게 콜콜다 랑점으로 잘 되기요 알아야 미국 공부지 나 공부를 켜대요 소지 멤버리 이나야 류지 공부지 아니 미국 공부를 써보고 공부 시한다 탐자로 알아야 켜대요 알아야 띠는 신체니 아니 띠목도 너무 탐자로 켜대요 알아야 근데 이 말이 인류 띠목 녀몬도 좀 더나 아니 녀몬이 나 되게 아니 고 르메르메르메게니 다 매바 차두고 그랬어 다 디숭비하래 어 세상가 자 근데 이 말이 인류 참바다 홍준이부디 라고 직실은 게 안 되지 직수철신은 직수성도 돼야지 차대요 레디니 14월 달마 또는 무슨 삼담이나 공주대 자월대 띠무 댄진 때 되지 띠무 댄진 시대야디 친지로 올라채 무슨 공주 거에 대 친지로 올라 채워라다 띠무 댄진 시대야디 그 친지로 내가 친지로 댄댄에게 친지로 올라 로지 차대기 하래 저상가 갑전 세마 여말해 그 뭐였니 줄래야 그 친지로 댄진대야 하래 다 대 동다 라지 홍주 동자 참바스람도 고민세양시다 이내다 참바리야 덴진 좋아하셔고 하면 누가 덴진다 덴진이 레버든데 패지 영도 영 초금에도디 이내 거로 정신기 덴진 매나 참바마야 되게서 다 있는 말이 봐 참바 가는 미세 유티 즉 덴루도 능글이 이내디 담버 참바디 네바도 다 유어봐야지 그제 이 말이 홍주래야 가는 미네 홍주 사세 유티 담버 나네 담바르 나네 담바르 나시 샴바디 녜바도 고려하래 디 토아제는 콩디기 아르마도 디 토마제가 콩디야 메라래 자 딘데 임베 인도고 유진 부찬에 참벨로디 치질로로 덴징기 토아 메바 덴 토아서로다 덴징 메바제니 코라랑 고 슈끼니 페트야지 디 동다 콩로디 인심이지 덴징 토아서는 마도 마용이지 덴지세야디 고로 슈크첨부시다레디 이나야 고 치질로로체 디 동다 디베트 자야로 카르데로 진단 개화 인생에게 담이도 싫을 때 모유니스 떠대게 모유니스 로티치도 송원이지 모유니스로 내대게 딘도 잡전 삼아야 되고 자 딘데 인바 인도 따와 딘데 그때네 뉴몬다 뉴몬 그 동대로 니부디 갠다 인바 집에 타올라 찍디 고마 탐에도 배야 되네 찍도 고마 탐에도 배야 되고 딘 잡아지 정말
So one can ask the question that if in the case of two opposing states of mind and two opposing emotions such as hatred on the one hand and compassion on the other, if it is the case that by reinforcing one automatically diminishes the force of the other, then the question can be raised, does that mean that there is total symmetry between the two, that there is total equality, absolute equality, that there is no difference at all by, you know, reinforcing hatred, one can completely eliminate compassion, and by reinforcing compassion, one can eliminate hatred. If that is the case, is there no difference between the two? Here, it is important to have a deeper understanding of the contrast between positive emotions like compassion and loving kindness on the one hand, and negative emotions like hatred and anger and attachment and so on the other. Generally speaking, if you look at the Buddhist understanding of what is meant by klesha, afflictions, broadly speaking, we observe two general categories of afflictions. You have on the one side, there are afflictions which tend to be instinctual, such as attachment, such as anger, such as hostility. These are, although in certain circumstances there might be some immediate catalyst, which may, where reason may, some kind of projection and reason may play a role, but generally these emotions are more reactive, more instinctual and impulsive. So that's one category of emotions which are more impulsive and instinctual. Then there are there is another category of emotions which tend to be much more cognitive. Here you have the false view of a sense of selfhood, and also the false view of grasping certain extremist views as being authentic or valid. So these are although afflictions, but they are more cognitive, they are more in the category of the intellect. And in fact, this second category of afflictions are sometimes referred to also as afflicted intelligence, because they have a much greater role of reasoning involved in them. So this is generally the Buddhist understanding of two broad classes of afflictions. However, if you look at deeper, you will understand that if you look at the nature of these emotions, the gross levels of emotions such as extreme hostility and anger and so on, they, at the root of them, is a subtler emotion, which is the delusion, and particularly the delusory mind grasping at some kind of real existence of things. And here we find a deeper understanding of the nature of these afflictions in the Madhyamaka writings. For example, in the 400 verses on the Middle Way, we find the passage where the author states that just as the bodily faculty permeates all the other sensory faculties, in the same way, delusion underpins all afflictions. So the point being made here is that when you examine carefully experience of a strong affliction like anger or attachment, you will see that underlying it is a cause, which is some kind of grasping onto a particular object, whether it be deemed desirable or whether it be deemed undesirable, and depending upon how you perceive that, and then it gives rise to an emotional response or reaction. So at the gross level, delusion serves as a cause for the occurrence of these afflictions. However, at the subtle level, and in fact, the author of the 400 verses suggests that, in fact, delusions are delusions exist as a kind of a as coexists. Delusions coexist with the afflictions themselves, just as the body organ permeates all the sensory faculties. In the same way, this delusion grasping at true existence of things really underpins all the afflictions. So, and in fact, one can say that the afflictions, the arising of afflictions, are dependent upon this grasping at true existence of things. So this delusory mind grasping onto the true existence of things is, in fact, it's distorted, because the real nature of things is emptiness. However, this delusory mind grasps onto them as having some kind of real existence or true existence. In contrast, if you look at a positive emotion like loving kindness, although there are cases where delusory grasping onto an object as true existence may give rise to or support loving compassion, but the arising of loving compassion is not dependent upon grasping onto the object as having some kind of true existence. In fact, loving kindness is an emotion that can be and developed to an infinite potential, whereas negative emotions like anger and hatred, because their underlying root is a distorted state of mind, they do not have any valid support or any valid ground in both reason and reality. So because of this, by cultivating direct insight into the true nature of things, which is emptiness, one will be able to penetrate through the delusion of this misunderstanding of reality as having some kind of true existence. And through this way, one can eventually eliminate, undercut the very basis of the arising of these afflictions. So certainly there is a vast difference between positive emotions like loving kindness and compassion on the one hand, and negative emotions like anger, hatred and attachment on the other, in terms of their sustainability and also in terms of their potential for infinite development. So the question is, if underlying all the afflictions is this delusion, which really underpins them, how do we, on what grounds do we understand this delusion to be this grasping at the true existence of things? Here we go back to the 400 verses on the middle way, where immediately after the verse that I cited, Aryadeva writes that it is by gaining insight into the truth of the dependent origination, one will bring about the cessation of delusion. So the point being made here is that he is saying that when the individual develops a deep insight into the subtle aspects of the teachings on dependent origination, then he or she will bring about the cessation of the delusion. So here, the delusion is being identified or defined as a misconception or a state of mind which perceives the world and the self in contrary to the principle of dependent origination. And because according to the principle of dependent origination, all things come into being as a result of a dependence upon other factors. And it's the opposite of that would be to accord status of independence and independent existence to things and events. Because if things possess independent status, if things possess independent existence, then of course they cannot have the nature of dependence upon others. And this status, this projected status of independence is what is being referred to as self in the context of the teaching on selflessness. And so the teaching on, by teaching selflessness, what is being taught is the absence of the independent existence of things, because all things come into being as a result of depending upon other causes and conditions, or other factors, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So the Aryadeva concludes by saying that whatever is dependently originated. Aryadeva concludes by saying that that which is dependently originated cannot possess the nature of independence. And this absence of independent existence is what I called dependent origination. As to whether or not this delusion, grasping on to things and events as possessing true existence, whether or not this is considered to be a defilement of the category of afflictions or subtle objects, subtle obstructions to knowledge, among the Nagarjuna's disciples, there is a divergence of opinion on this. On the one hand are such commentators of Nagarjuna like Bhava Viveka, who understood this delusion, this grasping at true existence of things to be a subtle obstruction to knowledge rather than a defilement of affliction, while based upon Nagarjuna's own 70 stanzas on the middle way, there were other commentators of Nagarjuna who maintained that it is actually part of the afflictions, afflicted states of mind. And they argued that even to attain the state of arhathood, which is freedom from samsara, cyclic existence, one needs to eliminate this grasping at true existence. And it is on the basis of that understanding then the assertion is made that the insight into emptiness is the sole path to liberation. There is no second path other than second path or second door other than the wisdom of no self, wisdom of selflessness. And and here the wisdom of selflessness or no self is understood in terms of what is called the three doors to liberation or three doors to thorough liberation, where the insight into the emptiness of things and events is cultivated on the basis of understanding its nature from the point of view of its causes and from the point of view of its effects as well.
So when speaking about this teaching on the no self and understanding of the selflessness, here we need to relate back to the teachings of the Four Noble Truths in the first public sermon that the Buddha gave. When the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths, he taught them in terms of 16 characteristics of the Four Noble Truths, four in relation to each. And the four characteristics of the First Noble Truth, the suffering, are impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and emptiness, and no self. So And so all the different schools of Buddhism, all the followers of the Buddha, in one way or another, understand the key teaching of the Buddha to be embodied in this teaching on no self or anatma, no self or absence of selfhood. Of course, there are divergence of interpretations as to what that no self means. In fact, if you look at the history of philosophical thought in India, we see a very long tradition of analysis on this nature of selfhood, nature of the individual or nature of being. The fact that when we experience pain and pleasure, there is the question of who is it that experiences it? Who is it that undergoes that experience? When we speak of accumulating karma, who is it that accumulates the karma? Who is the agent of the karmic act? When we speak of experiencing the fruits of one's karma, again the question is, who is it that experiences the fruits of karma? And the fact that there is an individual, there is a being that we label as I am, is something that is commonly accepted. But the question is, what exactly is the nature of that self? What exactly is the nature of that being? Here we see a very long tradition in ancient India in the analysis of what that nature of nature is, nature of the being or the person is. On the whole, among the non-Buddhist schools in India, especially those schools which accept the idea of rebirth, on the whole, there was a kind of a convergence of opinion that since physical body is contingent upon a particular life, and it's transient, when the life ceases, a particular life ceases, the physical body of that individual being also comes to an end. Therefore, self cannot be identified with the body, bodily existence. And therefore, on the whole, the non-Buddhist schools maintain that the self must be something that is completely independent of the physical and psychological constituents that make up that individual's existence. There must be a self, there must be an eternal principle that is enduring and that transcends individual life cycles, that maintain its continuum in an eternal temporal stages. And whether or not they will characterize it as eternal, unchanging, and unitary, but in the belief in this kind of self or Atman, if you probe deeper, these three key characteristics are thought to be the main characteristics of this self, that it is, temporally speaking, eternal, that it is unitary, indivisible, and that it is independent, or in some sense self-governing. And this is what is called the Atman, the self. And on the whole, all Buddhist schools reject that kind of notion of selfhood, that kind of notion of eternal self. However, within Buddhism, the schools have divergent opinion as to if that kind of self cannot be posited, then how do we understand the notion of person? How do we understand the agency? Who is it that being? Here, among the Buddhist schools, and there are some schools who try to identify the person or the self on the basis of the physical and the mental aggregates that make up the individual. For example, some schools maintain that it's the totality of the five skandhas that is the being, that is the self, or that is the person. Others maintain that it is on the basis of the continuum of consciousness that one must posit the individual being or the person. And there are others like the mind-only school which maintain that the followers of the scripture of the Yogacara, the mind-only school, where they maintain that it is not just the mental consciousness, but rather there is a unique continuum of consciousness called the foundational consciousness, which really is must be identified as the person. Then there are those, the followers of Nagarjuna, particularly those who understand it to be Nagarjuna's ultimate standpoint. They maintain that any attempt to identify self as something that is independent of the body and mind is untenable. Then the question is, how do you explain the relationship between the self and the transient body and mind? So that is untenable. Equally untenable is the attempt to identify self within the body and mind. So the followers of Nagarjuna, particularly those who take the Nagarjuna's subtle view, they maintain that both these dichotomies, identifying self as independent of the body and mind, and identifying the self to be either one of the aggregates of the either the body or mind, that is also problematic. So the self or the person must be understood only as a kind of a label, an appellation, a designation that is given on the basis of the aggregation of the mind and body. And so we must understand the nature of self or the person to be mere designation, something that is that has no absolute or intrinsic reality.
Chen it out. What did you do? Ta, okay, Chita Nangita, Chukata Kaina, are those Chitaja Damina, Tamjelo, called Dunna to Dane, or Danijung Dane. So that did you mean this and a call Danijung Indu called Shannon Rada? Shannon Rada in the Sunny, Shannon Dubbin was wrong, Medici. Tadanayan Anzolia. Chidanaka, Tenjung Tekonani Tong, Lotte, Teta Tata Begay, Zidan Gawain Deva. Ta, Tenjung Tong, Lotte, like Jagan Samayo Deva. Rava in Demi Rang, Demi Rang, Gonna Tudebe, Tuber Zidane, Lotte, Loshi, Chino Loyba. Ta din to Sloni would be Zidan Gawain Deva. Any Chiglia Jagan Samayo Negi Chane, Queen you do Shiva Yina. だ、とにかく、ダメとは知るで、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許し、許 그 세리 세리가 다 가서 그게 니즈 디타네 심기 균디 땡땡바이 말이 그다 사진데 인도 땡심디 그 균자손에 되는 지 이모 인도자네 멋있음 좀 팔아셔와도 지금 모두 교화를 근데 이거는 유효하다 이내 거다고 가다 균땡바이 인도자네 가서 그게 땡땡바스 말이 대내선을 땡배 연대심에 있나 아니 연대지 톱시 아니 매주 깨만을 믿어봐 아니 거라 고방하는 관계 폐퇴하지 이거야 그래 자 드리 뭐 인도 드리 좀 생기 때네 아니 담에 떡에 시럽디 가서 우리 영화배 가서 우리 콘에 콘도 폐니 배 고바들 담에도 폐퇴하여 그래 뭐다 좀 세운 이거 되는 시행 거야 아니 데이터 알아야 심정 신고 왜서 와 지식이 nyumon pangbe trewe yöndenji da kasuru tubungi bichi lole chi le yöndi ene tawa seyaji ngotu yaji da tawa tyo nyingi loji le yaji duwa le yaji yasari.
So if we observe things and events sort of more deeply, we will recognize that all things and events really come about as a result of aggregation of many factors. They are dependent upon many factors for their existence, that none of them enjoy any independent existence, that that all things and events, their ultimate nature is mere dependence upon other factors. However, when we perceive them, when we observe them, somehow we tend to get the impression that they possess some kind of discrete, independent realities of their own. We do not perceive things and events to be in this kind of interconnected, dependently originating reality. We tend to see them as each having its own independent, discretely identifiable kind of units. So what we see here is a gulf between the way things really are and the way we perceive them. And it is this disparity between our perception of the world and the reality of things that really underpins the various afflictive and emotional responses that we have in our dealing with the world. So therefore, this suggests that the basis, the root of many of the afflictions, such as anger, hatred, attachment, and so on, is a distorted state of mind. It's a distorted understanding of the world. And the root of the afflictions is this distorted state of mind. Secondly, and this understanding of this perception of world as having some kind of independent reality is groundless. It has no valid grounding. And thirdly, when one cultivates the direct antidote, which is the wisdom of no self, then this wisdom of no self will directly counter this misconception of the world as having some kind of true and independent existence. So when you compare the two, this false view of the world opposed to the insight into no self, one has a very valid grounding in both experience and reason. The other lacks valid grounding in both reason and experience. So because of this, when you compare the two and let them compete with each other, obviously the force that has valid grounding in experience and reality will as a result of cultivating it, as a result of developing it and reinforcing it, eventually you will get to a point where one will be able to totally eliminate this false view of the world. And furthermore, insight into the no self, the wisdom of no self, because it is a quality of mind, its basis is very enduring. It's not a characteristic like a bodily quality whose basis is limited, whereas it's a mental quality whose basis is very enduring in terms of its continuum. Therefore, another characteristic of the mental quality is that once you cultivate it to a point where it becomes spontaneous, then further development, you do not need to make an extra deliberate conscious effort to bring it to your mind. A simple catalyst or impetus can immediately give rise to that kind of understanding or that kind of mental quality to arise in you. So when you compare all of these points together, then and also when you understand that the afflictions are separable from the essential nature of mind, that they are removable because their basis is is distorted state of mind, and by removing this distorted state of mind, afflictions can be removed. So when you compare all of these points together, then eventually you will get to a point where the word liberation or moksha will really have some profound meaning for you. You will also get a sense that yes, liberation is possible, and this is what is meant by liberation. So when you understand that liberation is possible, then you can extend that and then combine that understanding with the understanding of Buddha nature explained in such as the Tathagata Garbha Sutra that I referred to earlier, where the essential nature of mind is described as luminous, mere luminosity, that it is unpolluted and it's mere luminosity. And so when you understand this, then you will also come to realize that not only are the afflictions removable, but also the propensities and imprints left by these afflictions in us can also be removable. Because if the afflictions themselves can be eliminated, then of course the propensities for these afflictions and also the imprints left by these afflictions can also be eliminated. And through this way you will get an understanding of the possibility of liberation.
So, Devu Saye Salaya, Ta, Chanju Sembe Shun Zugame, Kushinam Shashayim Yare, Kushisaji, Moni Yuku, Ishishu Yuku, and Lungu Jugusen. So, Ta, Di Kushinam Shabe, Ship Tao Shivala, Paji, Nata Jena, Nata Shun Sunya, the Paji Shababe, the Jeech Machine. Ta, Chai, you may send the thing. Any some dandon digi, moni will check, some chini di moni will ching, some chini, a tomatada pogeda, tazoe, tomatada, when yambe by jumning, by chair nigger with some chini di moni will check. Telayale, bunga bunga bunga, chair chane, lunam da sajida, tomoven the year there was some chini, tomoven the year there were di, mene. 러시난다 하시니 모니고 직사한다. 와, 다 유명 시에와 직지타다다 제니 지르시니 최탐자로 그 직지도 천댕에 천받디 예 디천생원에 이시주고르제. 와, 대다 그게 모지도 똑같아져도 여댕에기 신도 차였다 수구시래다 롱인자 신도 차와 디 아니 닝지다 말람지 왕기 수구나발로 샷대베 Lu Tao de la Lumuche, Rabatelia, Jubuche, certain Kushiti, and the Nume Shevetene, Shevet, the Sushi, Sushuda, Shevatol, Shinsari.
So, in this way, one also understands the possibility of attaining the Buddhahood, which is the total elimination of including not only the afflictions but also their propensities and imprints. So when we speak of the resultant state of Buddhahood in the Bodhisattva scriptures, the Mahayana scriptures, the state of Buddhahood is described in terms of the state of the four embodiments of full enlightenment or the four kayas. And the understanding of the four kayas, the most profound and more detailed understanding of the four kayas can be developed on the basis of reading and studying the Vajrayana texts, where the understanding of the four kayas is presented on the basis of the subtle mind, the fundamental innate mind of clear light. And here the emptiness of the fundamental innate mind of clear light at the state of Buddhahood, that is described as the Svabhavakaya, the natural embodiment of the Buddha, and the omniscient mind of the Buddha at that state is described as the wisdom Dharmakaya, the wisdom truth body, and the subtle energy or the prana, which is inseparable from this Buddha's Dharmakaya state, the subtle energy in its most subtle form is explained as the Sambhogakaya, the Buddha body of perfect resource. And when that subtle energy assumes a form that is visible to, that is at the level of more visibility and grosser level, that embodiment of the Buddhahood is described as Nirmanakaya, the Buddha body of perfect emanation. So we can see that in the Vajrayana explanation of the four kayas, the explanation is done on the base, all in terms of the understanding of the fundamental innate mind of clear light. So with this, we think along these lines, then we will get a deeper understanding of what is meant by dharma, and on the basis of dharma, how we understand the Buddha, who is the example of the total perfection of the dharma or total realization of the dharma, and the sangha, which is those who are on the path of realization of the dharma. So this is how, on the basis of the first verse of this text, the verse of salutation to the three jewels, that one can in fact gain a general introduction to what is meant by Buddha dharma. So it is important for us who consider ourselves as practicing Buddhists to have these understandings, so that when we go for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha and recite Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami, I go for refuge to the Buddha, I go for refuge to the Dharma, I go for refuge to the Sangha, so that we know we have a certain understanding of the object of our going for refuge, so that by cultivating a deep admiration, by reflecting upon the qualities of the Buddha, we go for refuge to the Buddha of the past, the historical Buddhas and so on, and also cultivating a deep conviction and faith in their qualities and attainment, one goes for refuge to them. But also it is important to understand that one's going for refuge to the three jewels must be related to one's own inner realizations and experience of the path, so that when you go for refuge in your faith, there is also a faith of emulation. That not only do you have admiration for the three jewels, but also you emulate the examples, so that you aspire for yourself the realization of the three jewels. So derived through such kind of faith of emulation, and then one engages in the path and cultivates within oneself all the various levels of realizations, and beginning from the minute levels of the path and so on, and then as a result of attaining the true path within oneself, one attains cessations, and which then makes the individual to be a sangha, arya sangha, noble sangha, and then as a result of continuing in one's path, when the individual finally culminates in his or her realization, then one attains the state of Buddhahood. So in this way, one should be able to not only understand the act of going for refuge in relation to a historical or past Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, but also to one's own resultant future Buddha, Dharma and Sangha.
Oh yeah. That the Chöju Gishaba di Sima Chenim, that the ne Shungshiliya, Chungunda Chöju Gibusung Gishaba Cha, say. That the ge, any, Panaji, Umoju Buddha, Mada Genda, any Zashirada, she does a Kodune, any Lamka Kurima, Tarja, Matanyamne, Chedama, the Dune, Denshaba, she never. Kurim, Tarsalama, the Yanin Chechosas and Deputy, Pezio Mari. That's true, and the Lamjun Kadulia, that the Kurim Manoa school is. Jenny, the Kurim Manoa Jiguri. Dinanga Kawa Tours Lona, that she Lamjim Mo Manoa, Changma Chebasi, Inaya, Kurim, any Yamin Chidandi, Mashibache, Truna. Le, that's it, le, you want to add here. Banner Changju was some city andy, Cheddar, Simjan, Namgeta, Simjan, and then Namdi Gaya, Lammy Changju was Ali, Gundugi, Lot in this young Alia, Nella, Changju Motor is Majuna, Kausari. Dungi, 그다음에 레레레첸 근데 이기 직직 집을이야 그직 스펠링 타서기디 이기디디 추산이 아니 도도지 차용이라고 직 차용이라고 그 루직 맞잖아 그 용금에도 와 뭐 뒤는 시체니 그 도구에 연된디 코레 양라로 디디 두부 두부첸이 사수수베 시에니 근데 이도 덤샤베 양르 넘줄시라고 그 직고 타용도 와 자 근데 인도 그 그림 많아 지금 뭐 죽나 뭐 많아다 장 맞춰봐 지 중요해 봐 이나야 대상기 그냥 먼저 있지 그 냥수 레벨 그 돌이야 가서다 민남기 집게 런도다로고 아니 럽체주체리 코레 양나 샤셰로 두부소소스네 내도 눈이 대차수수지게 아니 덤겸윤디 아니 지금 드만인된 거 로베 캐버지 용투야지 자 드네임베인도 그림 만나와디 개점을 처리하래 다 안들지 람중거리에다 그림 만나와시는 거 치단지 다 숨겨하래 대에니 그림 직단디 기부 충분 넘는 기부 증근 넘는 기부 충분 넘는 시에 기부 충분 최소스네 로점지 타송기 다다 아 로점지 타송기 보다 르버지 강사 소설 계제 말이 냠니 지금 소설 계제 말이 냠니 지금 지 내가 다 보면 내가 로제 충중이 배 거두기 르버지 되네 알로 증두 주변 내가 무슨 버지 되네 알로 고모르 주변 내가 무슨 버지 어다 대의 뜻이네 아니 가서다 냠니시단지 반도스 뒤고도가 딱한다 냠니시단글르 그게다 가서래 야채르다 설르 대 대다 대네 대냠니 지금에다 강사를 끼고 중무든 등도 쳐보시네 도구센터 자용하지 인사래 그런데 인도 안다대 끼부스 거사 중무든도 쳐주비 끼부스도 시작을 잘했어 다 좀 된대기 최 렘랭기 강사리야 아니 로즘지 타마스웅기 아니 타마스 소르다 로즘 다 로탐보베 레탐보베 니급지 아니 파르멘 니급지 네 로베 야 공두주베 니급지 체니 된대기다 로면저와 덥치조 숨이게 되네 지기 인기 웃음이는 거래 다 진짜 인기 무슨 대다 체니로서 소소여 저 차스 직접
So having now explained the verse, the stanza, the verse of salutation, then in the verse 2, the actual exposition of the teaching begins. Here we read, understand there are three kinds of persons because of their small, middling and supreme capacities. So what is being presented here and what is unique about this text by Adisha is that here the presentation of the teachings are made in such a way, arranged in such a way that there is a definite sequence to the order of the different topics of the practices arranged in conformity in relation to the way in which these should be practiced in their proper sequence. For example, in various other Indian treatises such as Nagarjuna's Madhyamaka Mula Karika, the fundamentals of the middle way, and Chandrakirti's supplement to the middle way, Madhyamaka Avatara, in many of these treatises, of course, all the parts have been presented correctly, and also most of the key elements of the path has been presented, of course, with different degrees of emphasis. For example, in Nagarjuna's Fundamentals of the Middle Way, the main emphasis is on the teaching on dependent origination and emptiness, and the understanding of emptiness in terms of dependent origination. However, the other aspects of the path are also found presented in them. So what is lacking in these other treatises is that there is the presentation of the teachings is not done with a definite sequence of the practices by actual application in one's practice. And and Adisha points out that this is very important for in order to engage into the practice, it is important to have a full understanding of what is the proper sequence in which one should engage in the path. Practice should be undertaken first and what practice should follow this and so on. And he says that without this, then the effectiveness of one's practice may not be very great. For example, let us take the example of, say, the bodhicitta, the altruistic aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. It is not simply enough to say that may I attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. It is easy to say in words, but when it actually comes to cultivating it, how does one go about cultivating such an altruistic aspiration. Here, until and unless the individual has developed some understanding of what is the object of aspiration, which is the Buddhahood, that the full enlightenment, then it is not possible to really develop this bodhicitta. So some understanding of what is meant by enlightenment is important. And also what is important is to have some deeper understanding of the nature of suffering that you wish others to be free of. And in order to develop this strong compassion, seeking others to be free of other sentient beings to be free of suffering, one must have a deeper understanding of the nature of suffering in relation to one's own personal experience. And on the basis of that personal experience of one's own understanding of suffering, then one will be able to cultivate a strong desire to gain freedom from that, which is the true renunciation. And when these elements are then combined together, then one will be able to give rise to a bodhicitta, which is the altruistic aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. So what you see here is that in order for an important aspect of the path like bodhicitta to take root in oneself, one needs to cultivate the different components of it individually first. And when you do that, then eventually you'll be able to cultivate bodhicitta. So there is a kind of a certain order to the actual development of these aspects of the path. And so Atisha in this text explains these various aspects of the path in relation to the actual sequence of individual cultivating these aspects of the path. And here he does so by using the framework of the practitioners of three different capacities. And when we speak of the small capacity, middling capacity, and the supreme capacities, we are not necessarily referring to three completely different individuals, some with the higher capacities and some with middling capacity and some with small or inferior capacities. In fact, what is being referred to here is the different levels of mental state an individual practitioner attains through progressive stages. So at the beginner stage, the individual practitioner can be referred to as one with a small capacity, and as a result of practice, when he or she progresses to the next stage, then he or she is of the middling capacity, and then as he or she further progresses, then reaches the supreme capacity. So these three capacities can be understood in relation to a single practitioner in a progressively evolving stages of mental development. And so he explains that the importance of understanding the proper order of the practices and referring it to the different levels of the mental realizations. So he writes, "I shall write clearly distinguishing their individual characteristics, the characteristics of the three capacities."
Benna, chikda labda, chimari, dingri, turim chikda chimana chikyo. Chanda deya, and hajimuyo nesula ya, benna umashibjibakulu suona shingi, and sunamimba tangurundo, pardo danim dobarchi, tamartashi gundonga. Tishitini kerayin si suwana shingi yani tomar da lele ya yani kaso uriku diyo sanam mayin bile sanam gule miyu bile sin da sanam mayin bile se adi dungi ji dungi da kaso uriku ge dhiyang egi nabu bile si gari da dine sanam gule sin da kaso uriku ge
So
좀 탐문도 왔어. 되네 이제 바로 다는 더 벌써 시대야 되라. 다 제단 찍으라. 강사하게 등진 락바. 강사하게 등진 락바 대 창샤베 지 창당 락바. 디지털이 아 가서래. 좀 해야 서울에다 건너야. 대네 이제 다음에 참고 아니 된지 봐자 다 된지 봐자도 제가 좋아요. 도슨 되는지. 다른 데로든 이제 자네 자식부터 삼천주다. 기구순 그 너무 영서로 그라 투 가서 우리 자야지 삼담에 있느니 순나만 임베 레 더야. 디 기부충을 남기 무시디 미기 주문 그 주름 냠내셔야 돼. 기부충을 남 무시셔야 돼. 저상가다 미기 주 니미스테니 잘 가서 그게 잠들 럽자 잠들 럽자 콩 랜데 랜데기 이지 타네 이지 니에베 타네 아니 미기 주문 그 미기 주 냠부테니 담샤베 가보기 주 냠내셔야지 기부충을 남기 무시셔야 돼. 그래서는 기부충을 삼배 내다놓고 동해지 동해리야 직내 텔레 타워를 주나 삼배지 저다 원둘 해밀류든 원둘 해밀류든 탐나 동해지 동해리 타니 리시지 시베편소도 터트해야지 용기여바 이르자네 다 대삼시기다 르지 가서 우리 치수로 드리신 분 이르자네 대거 가서 우리 너전으로 주야 걸어야 미리 주문 그 주름 렘네 원둘 주야지 다들 수납 못한 분도 왔어야지 바로 다는 넘어졌을 때 되게 바로 아니 다 댄징이냐 뭐 아니 똥니 꽝니 댄중 참모 똥니 꽝니 아니 다도 진데 댄징이 탄데 묘모 좀 해야지 타만 다시 끊는다고 했어요 묘모 좀 타버려야 해야지 되게 기분 증가를 하듯이 타만 다시 끊는다고 했어요 아니 랑지구 유기 아니 다도 좀 많이 봐 아니 가시고 그게 심지어 심지어 타다의 교육이 지금 당신 뻔한 채도 아니 담에 고미야. 다가는 신기 담에 고미야니 민주 쌈 뻔한 채 뭐인 봐. 시드도 제법 뻔한 채도 고민되잖아. 그거 영수석에 취지 그게 다 담에 고미야. 듣는데 보이니 담에 고미네 탐험 다시 군도 하세요. 난 되게 이 기부심을 넘는디 상당히지. 저 되는 인물인데 거다 뒤 사무실 담배이나 배나 마다 최최 상제비 최최세야디 묘모도 터야이말 묘모도 자르지 묘모디 동해쟁해디 미르자네 묘모디 다 터야드래 자 묘모로 터발라 냐라 파 묘모로 파그르 쳐발라 냐라 묘모가 술 만해버지 묘모가 샤왕도 쏘네 니슈 터야디 비하로 동구야래 와 자 다디 런숨을 쳐치해 묘모가 술이야 다 냐래 뇽몬 남사 내가 소토고 말대 이네 뇽몬고 왕게 중에 예주 담야디 좀 담고지 런숭 고지 런숭 세바다 쳄지 치르네 치르 람 곰투야게 문들 유진디 디샤라 둘로 자 다 문들 유진 토비야디 주소 사수가 제네 아니 르바니바디 좀 기분 증기 람 커돌이야 아니 뇽몬로 파 파르거시야지 대네 바도 다시 말해 가서 바도 다는 다 할 수 있어. 다 타말 당신 대샤베 파자도 좀이야. 독세니 다고 가다 나는 소식 마음 시대에 있는 다고 타말 정수 차주시. 대네 정수 술 내가 마요야 지금 중사를 제래 아니 파파 그러셔야 돼. 아니 파 그러셔서 파 그러셔서 다오 매버서 사니야 네 쉬라로 되나 매버서야. 용도가 따와 듣는 신체는 그런 거 아주 잘 보고.
So we can here see a kind of a analogy to even modern education. We can say that there is a kind of a roughly corresponds to the elementary stage of education, elementary school, and the high school and college, where one sort of advances into more specialized areas of study. So these three levels of practices in correspondence to the three capacities can be likened to different stages of schooling. And also we can relate Atisha's teaching on the three scopes or the three capacities to an earlier demarcation of the three phases of spiritual development found in Aryadeva's 400 verses on the middle way, where he says that at the first stage, one must avert or reverse the unwholesome deeds, and in the middling stage, one must reverse the selfhood, grasping at selfhood, and in the final stage, one must eliminate all wrong views, all views, or one must dismantle all the views. So this can be related to Atisha's presentation of the three scopes, because when we say unwholesome deeds, here we are talking about negative actions and thoughts, which are the main causes of our suffering. And so when we speak about the causes of suffering, of course here we are talking about karma or actions. And within the karma, generally we make distinctions between three types of karma. One is the negative karma, unwholesome karma. Then you have what is called the wholesome karma, or the meritorious karma or actions. And then there is what is called the immutable karma or unchangeable karma. And the first karma, the negative karma, give rise to sufferings in the lower realms, and it is the meritorious karma that gives rise to birth in the higher realms, and as a human and celestial beings. And it is the immutable or unchangeable karma that gives birth in the form and formless realms. So we can say that Aryadeva's first stage, where the practitioner is advised to reverse or eliminate the negative karma, relates to corresponds to Atisha's the initial scope, or the small capacity practice, where the main objective is to gain freedom from immediate experiences of suffering, the obvious sufferings of the lower realms, where the spiritual quest is motivated by a kind of a fear of undergoing experience of suffering in the lower realms. So motivated by that fear, then you seek freedom from that. And here, the main practice is really embodied in the practice of morality, of abstaining from the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, and which is the precept of the actual practice of going for refuge. The precept for going for refuge is to live one's life in accordance with the ethical discipline of refraining from the 10 negative actions by consciously adopting a kind of a ethical discipline by refraining from these. And this is the main, this is the actual practice of the initial scope, and which corresponds to the first phase of the practice as referred to in Aryadeva's 400 verses. And then the second line in Aryadeva's text, which says that in the middle, selfhood must be eliminated or averted. This again corresponds to Atisha's second middling scope, because the main motivation or aspiration of the practitioner of the middling scope is to gain freedom from cyclic existence. And here, the actual practice would be to try to eliminate the afflictions which give rise to the experience of cyclic existence. So, and then finally, the third line of Aryadeva's text, where he says, finally, all views must be dismantled. And this corresponds to Atisha's third third scope, that's the supreme scope, where the motivation is not only to gain freedom from secular existence, but also gain enlightenment for the benefit of all beings and bring about the cessation of suffering of all sentient beings. So we can see that if we are to use the analogy of say a combat, in fact one can say that the practice of dharma is engaging in combat with our inner enemy, the afflictions, and so when waging a war against the afflictions, first the stage is to really ensure that you have a very good defense, so that you are secure, you are not vulnerable to the attacks of the afflictions. And in order to do that, you need to build a defense. And this defense is built by trying to overcome the manifestations of these afflictions in bodily and verbal actions and thoughts. In other words, by adopting this ethical discipline of refraining from the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, thus ensuring a security of the practitioner. And then once you have gained confidence in having a secure defense, that you are not vulnerable to the attacks from the afflictions, then in the next stage, then you take on the afflictions head on, directly. You can counter them directly and combat with it, because you are now assured of your own defense. And then finally, not only must the enemy be defeated, the afflictions be eliminated, but also one must ensure that not even traces are left. In other words, not even the propensities of these afflictions are left in one's mental continuum. So this is the third phase of the spiritual practice, as mentioned by Aryadeva, which also corresponds to Atisha's third scope.
Yang chao shan de xie yin na ran zu de zhe di di ji di ji li ne ge gu di ji ji da ta du gu di ji ji ni che da ne ge gu na zu di ji di ngon de di ji cha de re ani ta du gu di ji di tar be di ji cha de re za da ngon du zu be chu le zan be ani chuo go ji da le ngon de chuo se de ne ta du ne le ta ba zu ya chuo chi she ni de ni gu lu zu gu ji cha na lo le ya 가족과
We can also understand this process of the development in terms of the three different levels of Atisha's explanation of the three scopes, or Aryadeva's three phases of realization or practice, from the perspective of our object of aspiration, what we as practitioners aspire is the attainment of higher rebirths. As a temporary objective, and our ultimate objective is to attain liberation from cyclic existence and the omniscient state of Buddhahood. So the practice of the initial scope, where the key practice is really embodied in the ethical discipline of refraining from 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, is really the key practice that ensures the fulfillment of that temporary objective, which is the attainment of rebirth in higher realms, such as human and celestial existence. And here, as Nagarjuna points out in his precious garland, that for the spiritual practitioners, there are two primary objectives. Well, the temporary one is the birth in the higher realms, and the ultimate is the definite goodness, which he calls definite goodness. And in terms of the factors that give rise to these achievements, faith is primary for the attainment of higher rebirths, and wisdom is primary for attainment of definite goodness. So definite goodness here refers to the liberation from cyclic existence and also the Buddhahood, the full enlightenment of the Buddhahood. So when we speak of the second scope and the third scope obviously relate to our quest for attainment of this definite goodness. And when we speak of faith in the Buddhist context, although generally speaking there are many different kinds of faith, but in the Buddhist context, when we speak of faith, the faith is something that must be understood where faith that is reinforced by wisdom or intelligence. And in fact, it is important to have a faith grounded in reason and also, or wisdom, and also wisdom reinforced by faith and compassion. So there should be a kind of a mutual complementarity between the skillful means aspect of the path and also wisdom aspect of the path, so that one reinforces and complements the other.
Janita, ngondo ngondo digi tuyagi chogordi kibuchumulamche. Tan ngelelia nishani nyomo sampangbe tabachita shiru chiba pangbe tabachikshani ngelichikshani ta ngeli niyebe nane ta tabasam drubichile sambe chogodi kibuchumulamche. Tā ngēli tamshē kīpa tūbiyā kī chōgā tī kīpūchī mīlā mīm chē. Chīnā tā dēlā kāngsā gyū tātē wā kīpūchī mīlā mīm rāngsā pā lā mīm chī. Tēnē kīpūchī mīlā mīm rāngsā mōngā tūrā tāne kīpūchī mīlā mīm rāngsā pā chī yāngyā chē. Tā āndā dī lām Namjin to Yagi, the Kibu Chimbil Lamrim Sukhevche. Kibu Chimbil Lamrusunga Kadulia, Kibu Chungu the Tumu Lamrimdi, Tumundu, Tumung Churchin by Yinza, Kibu Chimbil Lamlavian Tejang, Kibu Chungling Lamding on a local Yari. Kibu Chung Lam Ramzabal to Yamari, Kibu Chungling Lam the Tumu Mingam di Changche. Chazangada, Kibu Chimbil Lamlavian Tigia, and a Chungu the Tumu Lamrim. Ding the Tumu and Lemon, then I'm Zimbashin to Lot Chang Day, and it turned to give a similar Lot Chang at the Imperi.
So we can summarize by saying that the practices that are associated with the quest for attaining higher rebirths, and those practices are practices of the initial scope, practitioners of the initial scope or initial capacity. And within the definite goodness, there are two levels. One is the liberation from cyclic existence, where the liberation is constituted by elimination of the afflictions or cessation of the afflictions. Then there is also the ultimate attainment of full enlightenment, where it is defined as a state where not only the afflictions have been eliminated, but also their propensities and imprints as well. So all the practices that are associated with the attainment of liberation from cyclic existence, they belong to the middling capacity or middling scope, and all the practices that are associated with the attainment of the omniscient state of Buddhahood, those belong to the supreme capacity or great scope. And so although one can imagine There could be three completely different individuals, each following these practices of these different capacities. For example, there could be an individual practitioner whose wish is to only pursue the practice associated only with the initial scope. However, in the text here, in Atisha's text, when he speaks of the three scopes or three capacities, he's talking primarily of an individual who goes through these in a progressively evolving stages, where because the ultimate purpose of the practitioner of this text is someone who is seeking the attainment of full enlightenment. So the presentation is made from the point of view of someone who goes through all these three different stages of capacity in a progressive stages. And so the point is that even for the practitioners of the middling capacity and the supreme capacities, they must first undertake the practice of the initial scope. So there is a definite sequence, so that the practices of the former scope is common to the practices of the latter scope, so that the initial scope practices are common to the practices of the middling scope, and the practices of the middling scope is a common practice for the practitioners of the great scope, and so on. So we will stop here today.
Changjo semjo rambo je ma je pa la ki ki ke wa nyam ba ko ne ko do ba o ro jo jam be ba je da jam ba na ko do so bo de ya ta da kun je je zo da lo je ke wa te da ta je ro do de su mi she be ja wa ta je ge mo wa ka ma so do ta ge ge ta wan de ge ya so bo je ro do mo